This is a time where we take out some time to answer some of your questions that you have put in the offering plate. We want to encourage all of you to do that. I've actually gotten behind on some of them, so I'm going to do two this morning. One of the questions that came out was from Matthew chapter 1. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 17, the question has to do with the 14 generations that are listed in three particular periods. It reads this way in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, "Therefore all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon in the time of Christ, 14 generations." The question is, in Matthew 1, 17, it discusses three periods of 14 generations. How many generations have there been from the time of the Messiah until now? It's a good question, isn't it? We don't know. But what we do know is this, is that as we look at the timeline in Scripture, what's interesting is the time from Adam to Abraham was about 2,000 years. The time from Abraham to the Messiah was about 2,000 years. And we're just about 2,000 years from the time of the Messiah. I think one of the reasons why we don't know exactly how many generations is that Scripture seems to convey that man counts years, God counts generations. So I know we're pretty close. I know that pre-diluvian, that is to say before the flood, the generations were a little bit different. But God counts the generations, and that's interesting because God is telling us that He cares for the people, not for the numbers. But we're close, and I think that's probably what the question was referring to. Are we getting close? And I would say, yeah, we're getting close. As I've often said, we're closer than we've ever been, right? And then the other question that came up is dealing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And for this, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Actually, a number of passages, if you have a pen, that you may want to list, because this particular question comes up quite frequently. What is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? What exactly is that? If you look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is a declaration in verse 12 that reads this way: "For even as the body is one, yet it has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are yet one body, so also is Christ." Verse 13: "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit." Now, within this particular context, he's actually referring to the different gifts that the Spirit of God gives. Nevertheless, we've all been baptized into one body. Another way of putting it is we've all been whelmed by the Spirit of God. As the Spirit of God has come upon us. We actually see the beginning of that in Acts chapter 2. What exactly does that mean? And that's the question that we want to focus on. What exactly does that mean? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me, and I'm going to be hitting some of these verses pretty quick, so if you just turn as quickly as you can, and if you just can't keep up, then just write down the verses. Ephesians chapter 1, if you look with me, it says this, "And how we receive the Spirit of God." And it says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." How did the Holy Spirit come upon us? Well, he's telling us. You listened to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, you believed, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now the question is, how do I know that I have the Spirit of God? What sort of things am I going to do if I have the Spirit of God within me? Now, there's a passage, and you're right there by Galatians, so if you just turn back a few pages into Galatians chapter 4, it says that God has given us, and here again, I think it's very, it's something that we should focus on, that God has given us the Holy Spirit, and you have to ask yourself, who is the Holy Spirit? And this passage literally defines who the Holy Spirit is. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it reads this way: "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." So the evidence of the Spirit of God within us, the Holy Spirit within us, is that we begin to have that relationship with the Father as the Son. and we begin to have the Spirit of the Son within us. That is to say, as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, that we become imitators of God and we begin to walk in love just like Jesus. In other words, our heart is attuned to Christ. We are thinking Christ's thoughts. We have the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2 tells us. Therefore, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, you don't need to turn there, it says that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. What a wonderful thing that is. And how do I know I have the Spirit of God? Once again, I've been washed. God has cleansed me by the Spirit of His Son. That is to say, I'm not cleansed because I've resolved to do the right thing. I'm cleansed because I've been given a new heart. I actually want to do the right thing. And there's a cleansing that comes forth, a baptism that comes forth of the Spirit of God, of the Spirit of His Son, that now wants to follow, wants to do the will of the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. And so how do you know that you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Your wills have changed. So you have a new will. And that's a washing. That's a cleansing that has taken place in your life. There are a number of passages that we can look at. But if you look in the last one, John chapter 3 in particular, tells us that it is Jesus Christ who gives the Spirit without measure. And if you look with me in John chapter 3, verse 34, it reads this way. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. For the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. And the reason he puts it this way is this, that there's been a change in your heart, that you want to obey God. Jesus will say, or John will say in 1 John chapter 5, that God's commandments no longer are burdensome to us. We actually once again want to. Why? Because we've been washed with the heart of Jesus Christ. Now resides in me. It's a very cleansing effect. When I realize what Christ has done for me, and the gratitude in my heart not only begins to stir, but the Spirit of God stirs that within me. And I cry out to the Father saying, Abba, Father. That's why Jesus says to his disciples, this is the way you pray now. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father. What a wonderful truth. Father, we give you thanks for your word that demonstrates to us what it means to be a part of the family. And you've put within us the heart of our dad. You've put within us the heart of our Savior. We are sons of God. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.